Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
From makeshift stages in the desert to people's living rooms to the back rooms of record stores, Las Vegas musicians have always found places to play. The redevelopment of downtown Las Vegas, especially in the Arts District, has seen several new music venues come on board. Sadly, many of them have shuttered over the last 2 years. And yet, it seems that in line with Las Vegas tradition, a new crop of venues has suddenly taken their place. Meanwhile, the city keeps churning out new young talent eager to make a name for themselves on those new stages. Keeping an eye on all these things are music writers Amber Sampson, arts and entertainment editor of the Las Vegas Weekly, and Gab Rodriguez, staff writer at the same magazine. KNPR's Mike Pravat spoke to them recently. Here's that conversation.
Amber and Gab, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming in. It has been a minute since we have caught up with the local music scene. Let's start with an aspect that reflects how Las Vegas acts connect with and grow their fan bases, and that's live music venues. Many of them are in downtown, and I think there are people out there that are confused about the status and future of one of the more central venues, and that's Swan Dive. Gab, I wonder if you can fill us in. Why did Swan Dive close and then become something else and then make plans to reappear elsewhere?
All right. So to just put it simply, Harvey Graham came in from Texas/Portland, and he has two other venues out there. He wanted to bring Swan Dive to Las Vegas as a secondary venue to him, because he's also the owner of Odd Fellows too. I think that the space that he decided to take on at the Colorado is a little bit bigger than what he originally anticipated. And while it was working out for the most part, once the original space of Syndwave opened up down the street, he decided to take that on into a smaller scale venture, which left the space at the Colorado open for Tim Cam, who was the managing partner at Swan Dive, to make it his own concept. So that is today sitting as Bazaar Bar, and it's currently being renovated by Tim Cam and his team. That deadline has been pushed a little bit farther down the line. So these shows that you're seeing pop up to be scheduled at Bazaar Bar or Swan Dive or one or the other are being tossed off to other venues downtown like Fremont Country Club or Triple B's or The Usual Place, who are kind of just picking up that slack.
That is a tale as old as time. Now, let me ask you, do local bands play a big part in Swan Dive's booking?
I know this local band, Spelling Hands, has opened for some like techno industrial wave kind of acts that come through town. So I would say a lot of the local acts are, you know, opening at these venues.
Do you think they'll have a chance to also play at Bazaar Bar once that opens?
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that happening.
Now, Amber, let's move down the block from Swan Dive. Now, while that venue was closed, another music sprouted up, and that's Dustland Bar. That opened last July, and it has an outdoor stage. Now, how has that venue filled the void left by others that have also closed in the area?
That's a great question, because honestly, I'll be honest, I have been waiting for Dustland Bar to open for quite a while.
Really?
I know that was something that Jen Toller from Ferguson's Downtown was really invested in and had hoped to open, for quite a long time. So when it actually opened, it was like a big deal. I know, you know, just going back really quickly to Swan Dive, people kind of were hoping that would be like Bunkhouse Saloon 2.0. But I'll be honest with you, Mike, like when I walked into Dustland Bar, it did give me insane Bunkhouse vibes. The bar is incredible, just the gathering space in general. But when you go out to the back, there's this beautiful stage out there. It's really large, and they've already kind of had some really great acts coming into town, a lot of touring acts. They just had Emily King, who is a Grammy-nominated R&B singer. She's incredible. And I also know that local singer B. Rose is actually working with Dustland on some bookings and events managing. So we have a lot of good stuff, I think, in the pipeline for that venue.
Amber, there's also the 16-month-old Ola Abibi, and that is on Casino Center Drive. It's a bar that also features live performances. What's unique about that spot?
You know, on top of the, you know, awesome craft beer and craft cocktail menu that they have over there, it's just like the overall vibe of the entire space. And what's really exciting about that is that Casino Center over there has been kind of growing a lot lately over the past, I want to say, maybe 6 or 7 months, and getting a lot more, you know, businesses and things like that. So people are really congregating to that space. We're going to start to see more live bands there. And I think people are going to definitely congregate more to that as kind of like a hangout, not even necessarily just to see the bands, but to also hang out afterwards. And it might even become like a kind of regular spot.
I wonder if, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking of places like the former Beauty Bar, where even if there wasn't a band playing, maybe it was just a DJ, local bands might still just hang out there to hang out. And I felt like the camaraderie there kind of made the scene feel a little more united, because they were all friends and they would all talk to each other so much, even outside of music. So
I was going to add, too, I think what's really cool about Hola Habibi is that they work with a lot of independent promoters. So it's like a variety of musicians that are gathering there, and they even host comedy shows. I know yesterday a local independent promoter, 1-800, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, Deadass Productions, hosted these really cool touring crust punk bands, and like the videos are really insane. And then also La Palma has their indie acts come through there quite a bit. So I think it's really great that Hola Habibi is putting their hands in all the baskets that are available to them.
You know, Amber, in general, live music downtown has gone through a lot of transition over the last few years, as you well know. We had the downtown version of the Sand Dollar Lounge close in December. The alternative music spot Sinwave, which Gab just mentioned, that closed a year ago this month. And almost exactly 2 years ago, Artifice, which occasionally featured live bands, they shuttered to make way for the Doberman Lounge. And beyond even the local band spots, Don't Tell Mama, that piano bar, that was a big for local singers. You know, they had an open mic that was pretty popular. They closed on Valentine's Day. And of course, the frequent festival venue, Downtown Las Vegas Event Center, that is going to become a parking lot. And by the way, we'll have a story digging into that development in the May edition of Desert Companion. You know, Amber, why do you think there have been so many venue closures and transitions in that area, which seems like it would be a great venue to have live music?
Well, first of all, I just want to say it hurts my heart when Sand Dollar Downtown closed, because I've been there for a bunch of shows and a lot of them were local shows. It had a great stage. There was no cover. It was in a casino. So it really felt kind of like a step up, I think, for local bands who don't necessarily get that opportunity. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad to see a lot of these great venues close. I think part of it comes down to rents are too high downtown. I think that's a huge part of it. I know that was a factor into why Sinwave closed. I think a part of it, too, is the engagement from the local audience. I've heard from some promoters who've said, like, we had a great booking and barely anybody showed up. So I think maybe we have a problem, a little bit of support from the locals. On the Strip, obviously, at House of Blues and Brooklyn Bowl, we have a lot of great shows and a lot of great support there. But I would just hope to see a little bit more of a community gather downtown when it comes to local music. But at the same time, I do feel like, you know, certain promoters like Patrick Pulsar and, you know, Ruben Rodriguez, like those guys, and have really tried to make more bookings that are live focused and local focused, and they've done a good job of kind of creating that niche. But I think there needs to be more of that. And just going back to Gabby's point, you know, about, you know, La Palma and 1-800 Deadass Productions, like they have also created a little bit of that culture and scene, and that cultivates more people being invested, I think.
You know, meanwhile, Gab, Backstage Bar and Billiards, the Griffin, Ferguson's Downtown, the Usual Place, these are all in the Fremont East District. They all book local acts. They seem to have pretty busy calendars. What do you think they're doing right? Or is maybe, does it have something to do with the area?
I think both of those things play a huge part into the kind of audiences that they're able to gather in those venues. I mean, Pulsar Presents and Smash Magazine do an incredible job of getting these really huge names that audiences and fans just want to get out and see. And it does help that their favorite bars are down the street from the venue where they can pregame and hang out, or postgame after the shows. And also, I think 21 plus shows are also just going to be a hit, because sometimes the older people in the fan groups don't want to hang around an all age show. And I get that, you know, there's a give and take there. But I just think when it comes down to it, Smash Mag and Pulsar and other promoting groups just do a good job of gathering those big names.
Jumping off your point there, Gabby, I do feel like all ages, like younger listeners, like younger local live music listeners, they are the ones who do support the most, in my opinion. At all ages shows, like those kids like show up. I feel like that gives me a little bit of hope. They're like the next generation. I'm just kind of like optimistic in that way when I think about like that younger gen kind of getting involved so early, and hopefully that'll translate to years later. But at the same time, all ages shows, like you said, aren't always the most lucrative, I guess.
But you know what it is too? I mean, at all age shows, it's really heartwarming to see these kids gather what little money they have to buy these tickets too. So when they go to a show, they're really going. They're going to mosh. They're going to dance. They want to get the most out of that experience, which I see your point. Maybe the 21 and up crowd isn't doing as much of that.
Yeah. They also have bouncier, more flexible knees.
Oh, totally.
I wonder what you're hearing from the bands. Getting gigs is very important. This is a lot of them how they're making any money. They're certainly, you know, not getting it from streaming. What are they telling you when you are interviewing them as far as getting gigs, the quality of the gigs? Like, what's the temperature you're gauging from them?
It's hard. It's hard to be a local live musician, but at the same time, I think that they're trying to play as many shows as they can to make up for that gap. But also, it's been really exciting, I think, to see some local bands get the opportunity to like open for really big bands. You know, those type of opportunities are huge. So I feel like it's kind of like a circle, I want to say. They have to play a crap ton of shows and then hope to maybe get picked up on a larger bill. And that kind of catapults them to maybe hopefully going out of the state to do some touring, but that's also a little risky too. So,
well, that seems like a good transition point to talk about the acts themselves. Gab, you wanted to discuss the hardcore act Roman Candle. What drew you to this band?
Roman Candle has been around since about 2022. I think they came out with their first album in 2023. Piper Ferrari is such a force in the local music scene. I mean, even when she was in her former band, So Without, she has this like dominating and ferocious personality on and off stage. And she's just an incredibly talented person in the scene. So I recently had gone to Roman Candle. They had a free show at Grey Witch to record a music video for Blasphemous Act. And, you know, all the kids came out for the show. It was a free show and they knew they were going to be on camera. So they really just showed out and for Roman Candle and just stage diving and moving the room. It felt huge and the sound was just heavy. And they're just a really fun act to see if you have a chance to.
All right, Amber, let's talk about who you are listening to right now, including R&B singer Ayaka Taylor. Now, you write that she's new to the scene here. So what is her story and why did you want to share it with your readers?
Well, so basically her story is really interesting. She actually started as a model. So ever since she was a kid, you know, she always loved singing, but she got more into modeling and acting as she kind of became a teenager. And she's done a lot of incredible modeling campaigns for Maybelline. She was featured in a Super Bowl commercial last year. She's done some hair care line modeling. And she's a really sweet girl, but she also is an incredible, incredible R&B singer. She has a beautiful vocals, very velvety, very warm. The first time I heard her earlier this year, I was kind of just blown away. And originally, I had just interviewed her because Beyonce was coming to town, and I had heard she was really heavily influenced by Destiny's Child and Beyonce. And then, you know, once I started listening to her music, you know, her song Waves that came out in December, it's just glossy and just gorgeous. So I was really taken aback by her, almost kind of like, who is this, you know, hidden gem that's been here in the scene that I didn't even know about?
Summer, the clouds. It's how
So she's just starting to kind of, you know, perform locally and at live showcases and things like that. But I know she's also balancing her modeling career also, but she's very serious about music. So I'm excited to see, you know, what she's going to come out with. I know she's working on some fuller bodies of work.
You have also been following the local MC singer Quinn Ayers. You seem drawn to these multifaceted personalities in local music. Akaya, as you mentioned, is a model and actress, and Quinn is a former baseball player. So why did he venture from the baseball diamond to the recording studio?
You know, it was really surprising to hear that he was a baseball player because I would have never known that. This guy has like so much music that he's released in like only the last like 2 years. But basically, I found out while he was playing college baseball, he had been writing, you know, in a journal, just writing. And he got to the point where he wanted to start writing his own music. So I found out between like baseball practices, he would go into his dorm and literally just be writing songs. And eventually he realized like, hey, I actually love this more than playing. So he decided to pursue it. And ever since then, he's been just dropping music left and right. He has a really confessional songwriting style. I want to say that he kind of reminds me sometimes of Post Malone in his like White Iverson era. But also at the same time, he has a lot of diverse takes on the kind of music that he does. So his latest album, Run It Back, it has like hyperpop, R&B, straight up rap. There's all kinds of variety there and flavor, and he seems to really enjoy just music in general, and the production's always really tight.
You threw me into the shadows. I did what any sane person would do. Filling the spaces with my hope. Give me a reason why I should trust you.
We're going to have to leave it there. Amber Sampson is the arts entertainment editor of Las Vegas Weekly, and Gab Rodriguez is a staff writer at the magazine as well. Amber and Gab, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.